Harley-Davidson has been a leader in innovation for 120 years in the design, engineering, and manufacturing of the most desirable motorcycles in the world. Their investment in technology such as digital, cloud, machine learning and artificial intelligence, and advanced data analytics, along with hiring great people, will help them continue to define the next generation of products and experiences for their customers. For those reasons, Harley-Davidson is proud to be a presenting partner of Tech and MKE, a platform to showcase Milwaukee as a vibrant, tech-filled city with incredible talent. Their partnership with us, Experience Milwaukee, to deliver compelling behind-the-scenes stories from regional leaders is a great example of what's possible when innovation and imagination come together. Learn more about them at harley-davidson.com. Hey everyone, it's Steve. Welcome to another episode of Tech in MKE, conversations with business leaders who have a connection to Milwaukee, where we chat about the state of technology in their organizations, our community, and how both come together to attract talent and make a city more techy. In this one, I'm joined by Tom Murray, Harley-Davidson's General Manager of Digital Growth. Tom and I have a friendly conversation about the numerous ways tech shows up inside this iconic brand. From that, we look to answer the following questions. How does a company as large and seemingly complex as Harley-Davidson deliver a consistent, amazing experience across every channel, digital or not, on a global scale? How does Harley-Davidson get its arms around digital technology in a smart way, from talent to global commerce? And how, where, and what does technology growth look like at Harley-Davidson? All of this and more is answered in this insightful and entertaining episode. Tech in MKE is brought to you by Harley-Davidson, the Milwaukee Tech Hub Coalition, Expedient, the Milwaukee School of Engineering, and Brooksource. And now, on to the episode. Thanks for listening.
I'm Tom Murray. I'm the General Manager for Digital Growth at Harley-Davidson. Privileged to connect with your audience today. I know you're doing great things for Milwaukee, so I'm excited to share more about Harley-Davidson.
Tom, how are you today? What's up?
Fantastic. What's up? Yeah, Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us today and for Tech and MKE. All about Harley-Davidson and technology and your role and all of this amazing stuff that's happening here. I think we're going to try and surface some of the things, maybe even behind the scenes if we can, top secrets. No, I'm kidding. Nothing like that. Let's start with you. A little bit of background, sort of your journey through the organization and what you're up to today.
Great. So I've been with Harley now for almost two decades. I've been really fortunate to have had the opportunity to work in areas across the entire company. So I entered into the company as an intern in product development, more specifically engineering. I was doing things mainly related to driveline. My background is electrical engineering and computer science.
Nice.
Did that for short.
That's a dangerous combo from a career perspective. You can do anything.
Well, and the interesting part is that I did that for probably about the first 6 months and then went more towards the mechanical side.
Okay.
Which was interesting to find the analogs between the two, but always found some opportunities to apply the electrical.
Sure.
Moving forward, went into then full vehicle delivery and was part of the team that delivered the Milwaukee 8 powertrain a number of years ago and then integrated that into the full vehicle. Wanted to get a little bit more understanding of the business side, so I was responsible for the business side of engineering at the time, but then had the opportunity to move and own some of that for product development. Moved from product development to strategy, and from strategy, I had an opportunity to bring some of that over to marketing. So I led marketing for a while.
Wow.
And during that time, I also had the opportunity to do a brief stint of leading what was general merchandise at the time. Now it is apparel and licensing.
Okay.
Moved back into marketing, and that was around the time that we had brought in a new chief digital officer, Jag Krishnan, and he came in as part of the Hardwire strategy that was kicked off by our CEO, Jochen Zeitz. And one of the things that I worked with him on was saying across, you know, he had this strong vision for what we needed to do to become a digital company or more of a digital company. And so he, you know, pioneered this vision for us around the digital ecosystem. And what that led to was the team that I now lead. Uh-huh. And that was bringing some things in from marketing, but really canvassing around the rest of the organization to say, where are we doing pockets of great digital work? Where do we need to be doing, you know, even different work to make sure that we're not only keeping up with the times, but leaping forward? And so the digital team that I now lead was created in 2021.
So not too long ago.
Not too long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still a burgeoning team at this point, continuing to grow. And really the intent of this team was to strengthen our digital capabilities for, you know, dealers, consumers, obviously HD, with the purpose of delivering the most desirable experience for our customers through all digital touch points.
Yes.
And an experience that's integrated. So whether you are at a dealer or you are on HD.com or you're interfacing with some of our marketing, you know, just driving consistency. And in order to get there, my team works cross-functionally with many groups. So we work with marketing, motorcycle product development, apparel and licensing business, I mentioned earlier, parts and accessories, the commercial team, and even with the dealer network to develop and implement new digital capabilities.
I hear those words, right? And it's like, oh, okay, that sounds like a manageable human job. But then I start to think about Harley as a global company.
Yeah.
The number of touch points from a consumer perspective, right, or someone who's going to engage with the brand in some way of all those areas you mentioned, or one, even just one, and it starts to become overwhelming really fast for me in my head, right?
Yes.
So given all of that, your background, and you've been across the organization, you've seen a lot of things, you've led and managed a lot of things here, so you bring a great perspective to this role. I know what the answer is, right? Is there a typical day, or what does a day kind of look like in the details of what you described as this role in this new team?
Yeah, there is, to your point, I don't know if it's a typical day, but there's a, you know, I'd say an average day, and I can provide a little bit of context maybe if I can talk about the five functions across digital org.
Sure, yeah.
So, and the reason why this becomes important, I'll talk about in a second, but to your point about like the challenges of a consistent global customer experience.
Right.
So we brought in at that time a new team called Experience and Design, and that leader, along with her team, is responsible for putting the customer at the center through human-centered design.
Sure.
And so that's the intent of our entire organization. But her job is to really put that into terms, actions, and outcomes that translate into all of the other teams. And so those other teams are, you know, sitting right next to her is a digital product team. And that team has ownership for things like HD.com, the mobile app, working really closely with HDFS on the HD number one marketplace that was recently launched for used motorcycles. But even to your point, our personalization strategy for communicating with customers on their terms. So those teams work very tightly together. And we did have a digital product presence before. Obviously, we had the website, we had the app, but it wasn't consistent.
Sure.
And so that's what those two groups are really focused on now. And then in order to bring that consistent experience to consumers, we developed a software development team. So a couple of years ago, we only had software development and product development, which was related to motorcycles and the software and hardware on those.
Oh.
Now we brought that all in-house so that we control not only the quality of it, but the pace by which we can, you know,
can
deploy these new technologies. And then also it allows us to do the innovation in-house of not only how we do software development, but what software development can do for us. Sitting next to that team is a team that we call growth hacking, and that's really focused on data-driven marketing.
Okay.
So how do we do everything that we can to understand who the consumers are, that we want to reach?
And what they want, what their interests are, all of that.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. And then put that their interests and wants in their path instead of trying to get them to reconcile to our path.
Yes, perfect.
Which is what we've done in the past, like all companies have.
Right, exactly, exactly.
And so that team has been really successful in taking that journey over the last couple of years and in partnership with the other teams, putting the things in place that not only drive that consistency, but put things on the consumer's terms.
Sure.
And then lastly, my team owns global e-commerce.
So that's a lot.
We had, and it continues to grow. That is our biggest growth vector within digital growth, and certainly within digital across the entire company. And that was really focused a couple of years ago on the U.S. Now we have a large and ever-expanding presence, especially over the last year and a half in EMEA. We also have different storefronts that we're running now in the AP region, also expanded recently to Canada. So that team continues to grow and impress me with their ability to drive that growth. And then to your earlier point about, you know, it's a not only a global business, but when we look at the apparel and licensing and the parts and accessories that are sold globally,
right?
That team has done a phenomenal job of having people in market that really understand what the customers want, and that's what we're serving them. You know, it's different market than the U.S. Obviously, even Canada and North America have you know, some nuances that we try to adapt to.
And I got fixed on global e-commerce because it's to me, yes, not only the cultural. I think people might think about Harley and think about e-commerce and say, "Oh, you're selling motorcycles online," and there's so much more that people want from your organization in terms of how they experience the brand or how they live the brand. And you've got to account for all of that. And not only in serving up the things, the items, but then making that whole experience personal to that individual. And that individual can live anywhere around the world, which is incredible.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And, you know, our vision is really clear on what e-commerce is for, to your point, and what it's not for. So we don't sell motorcycles online, but what we do is leverage this as a channel to reach new consumers that may not have that first step of walking into a dealer.
Sure.
But if we can lower that friction point for them, or maybe even a barrier in some cases, by bringing them into the brand through e-commerce, whether it's a t-shirt or a hat or a gift for a relative.
For someone, right.
We now understand then, okay, their next step in that journey might be to make their way into a dealership, and that could progress through a nurture journey into buying that motorcycle.
Right, right.
And so that's really what that team is focused on. It's not only about the, you know, obviously it has to be a sustainable business from an apparel and licensing and a parts and accessories perspective, but most importantly is bringing in new consumers or keeping them engaged in the brand to nurture them into the lifestyle versus just trying to get motorcycle sales.
Yes. Yeah. Did you ever think you would, in when you were studying and preparing for graduation and you've got this electrical engineering side and you've got this IT side, do you ever think you'd be so involved in marketing?
Not at all. And that's a great question. When I moved over to marketing, you know, I honestly had a hard time initially wrapping my head around how my experiences would translate into what was needed in marketing at the time. And luckily, there were a lot smarter people than me making that recommendation for me to enter over there. But then, you know, like as I'm in marketing, when you talk about the technology behind, you know, understanding consumers and when to reach out to consumers, all of the different tactics or channels that we have now, you know, social media, paid media, search engine optimization, all of these different fields that, I was aware of at the time, but I never understood how complex or, more importantly, how powerful they were.
Right.
Which is why I do feel like there was this sort of method to the madness or reason behind those experiences that I had, because now I feel like I'm almost back to home in terms of the background of really computer engineering, and especially when it comes to those types of spaces and the software development and things like that.
Yeah, right, and leading those teams. Okay, so let's get into tech a little bit. And what I find in my experiences roaming around the city, talking to family, talking to friends, talking to other entrepreneurs, founders, everyone's got a little bit different definition or wildly different definition of tech. And I think with Harley Davidson and, you know, from designing and manufacturing motorcycles to the wide range of merch, like as you talk, e-commerce, everything in between, how does Harley Davidson look at technology in maybe a deeper way than some of the things we talked about? I think, you know, in one conversation, we were even talking about like apparel tech.
Yeah.
And that's just a whole stream of interesting that we could go down. But what does tech look like inside this organization?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And to your point, right, it's not only extremely important to Harley, but it is found in almost every corner the company, especially when you start looking for it. So, you know, I'll start with, you know, you mentioned motorcycles and our related products, which all have a large focus in the tech space. Mm-hmm. But again, to your point, there's so much more that's not as visible or well known. But I'll kind of start with those areas, if that's okay.
Yeah.
And then I'll expand into kind of the lesser known ones. But, you know, a lot of folks don't know that we have a world-class product development facility that's only about 10 minutes from the corporate headquarters on Juneau that we're sitting in today.
We're in here today. Yes. Mm-hmm. Hanging out.
That's right.
It's a treat for me, I have to say.
And, you know, the engineering and innovation that goes on there is amazing. And I had a front row seat when I was working out of that building. But the advances made in the past couple of years have been, you know, tremendous. And I can't get into all of it. But there are areas within that building that HD pioneered, like what is the fully anechoic chamber, which is all around understanding sound and engineering sound. And it's run by techs. And some the smartest sound engineers. And what they're doing is precisely tuning the sound of the motorcycle, because that's such an iconic part of bikes that are unmistakably HD.
Yes, yeah, which I believe isn't it trademarked or something, that sound? Yeah.
Yeah, parts of it, I believe. And then within that building too, but there's a broad range of engineering and tech groups. So we have like mechanical engineers, electrical, materials, almost every other engineering field that I can think of. There's also, as I mentioned before, the vehicle software, hardware development teams. And there's even a team of advanced analysts that are using cutting-edge simulation techniques, not only to drive efficiencies in the product development processes by reducing costs and the cycles of hard part development.
Yeah.
But they're also able to work with the teams on areas like safety and rider comfort, through developing these impressive models that model things like rider ergonomics and rider comfort, for things like how airflow affect the riders and passengers, head buffeting, all the way to heat mitigation from the aero modeling, working closely with the styling crew there.
Wow.
Of the entire motorcycle. And then you mentioned apparel and licensing. You know, again, I can't get into specifics of the upcoming product, but what I can say is that, you know, as I'm talking with this team and they're telling me about how they're working with the wind tunnel data and CFD analysis to determine the optimum comfort of riding gear by really understanding but then controlling the airflow for the rider in a smart but yet intuitive way.
Through the gear, through what you're wearing.
Through what you're wearing.
Yeah.
And so it's like this perfect marriage of like the art of what I think design is with the science of what I think of with tech and technology and engineering. There's two more recent examples of product that they did recently release out of that team that took a significant amount of tech development. So one that I love is that team worked with industry-leading partners in the impact protection space, and they have integrated now a patented polymer into the riding gear that remains flexible until impacted, so it's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's needed, it's safe.
It's safe. And it's so, that balance, right, of comfort and safety.
Yeah, precisely, like the art and science coming together.
Yeah.
And then the other example is changing the technology for winter riding gear. So for the longest time, you would buy a winter riding gear setup, and if you wanted to have heat embedded into it, you had very few choices. And so now what that team has done is they found new technology that they can embed this heated gear within middle layers, so that the rider then can in turn have the warmth protection for winter riding, but then wear whatever protective gear they're most comfortable with. And so they really have that benefit of the temperature controlled comfort while, again, leaning into what they are confident in terms of their safety products.
It is amazing to hear the types, I can only imagine then the types of people that are behind working on some of these things that, again, the average person may, like I'm speaking of me, just see motorcycles and,
right,
you just get on the motorcycle and ride around and then you have fun. But there's so much technology and thoughtful technology behind it. When we think of the people, the talent that has to join this organization and do something, right, do something great here, what kind of people do you look for? And especially today where it's such a distributed workforce, how do you think through talent for tech? Tom's answer to that question after this message from our partner, Milwaukee School of Engineering.
As a leader in AI and machine learning education, Milwaukee School of Engineering brings a rich history of a national reputation for cutting-edge degrees. We are proud to be a presenting partner of Tech in MKE, a platform to showcase Milwaukee as a vibrant tech city. Our partnership with Experience Milwaukee to deliver compelling stories from regional leaders is a great example of what's possible when brilliant minds come together. Learn more about us at msoe.edu.
How do you think through talent for tech?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, and to kind of pull on that string that you're talking about, to context this, which I think is a really interesting way to look at it, you know, from a safety and comfort perspective, starting with the, you know, like the engineering or the styling behind it.
Yes.
And then working your way through, you know, if I just skip a bunch of steps, manufacturing and the type of robotics acumen required to ensure that quality for the consumer when they get the end product. And then also, you know, there's the kind of the unsung heroes, the folks in the back of the house that are doing all of the back end integration of systems so that, you know, we have product that shows up at the plant in terms of components or assemblies that then we can create the bikes from that then go through this quality process,
sure.
you know, which is the intervention of, you know, tech and human, or the intersection rather of tech and, you know, like human art and human skill. And those folks that run those systems have to make sure not only are those parts in the plant, but are they, you know, the right parts? Are they onto the line? And then how do they get to the dealers? And then once they're in the dealer systems, you know, are they ready for the consumer when they show up? And that, to me, is just mind-blowing to think about. It starts with a kernel of this concept of what this bike
can be. Some dream, right? Someone's dream.
Yeah.
And that gets designed, and then all of that.
And there's all of these tech roles and capabilities throughout that entire value stream,
right?
From that napkin sketch to the, you know, the consumer pulling into their garage,
right? Right, and it and further on, right?
Yeah,
is Harley Davidson on a path to bring in tech talent and aggressively bring it in? I guess
absolutely,
you could even say
yes, absolutely. That is a number one priority for us. And to your question around what is the type of tech talent that we're looking for, you know, obviously there's the technical skill sets across all of the different engineering practices that I mentioned. There's also, you know, the technical sides for the back end or architecture management. There's the analysts. But for me, having that technical acumen is absolutely at the top of the list, important, but it's becoming table stakes for companies that are progressing as fast as we are in the tech space. And so what I look for, and I know that others as well, is these like folks that have that skill set, but then also a growth mindset. They come in with leadership and, you know, accountability, creativity, innovation, really important is great communication skills, because we have such a collaborative environment. And so people that come in, you know, like what I see being most successful is those that love and really thrive on the environment of teamwork. Another one that's really important to me is, you know, willing to fail fast, learn from it, and move on to deliver an even better outcome.
Sure.
And what I found is really interesting is that students that are coming in right out of school haven't been conditioned to some of the older practices of, nope, understand this to 99.9% before even making a recommendation on it. Mm-hmm. When we have these younger students coming in, or folks that are earlier on their career, it's easier to get them on the path of, nope, this is all about failing. It's about learning. Don't make that mistake again. But you are going to move on to deliver an even better outcome if you get comfortable with that. And so if I'm talking specifically, though, about the tech skills, you know, the very most important thing is a strong understanding and ability to execute on the fundamentals. I have found that it very rarely does not come back to these fundamentals when solving complex problems and innovating for the future. It starts there at a minimum, but then it's those other areas that I mentioned before, like creativity and collaboration, communication, et cetera. That's what brings the most impactful results, regardless of the role across that value stream that we were talking about.
Yeah. Anything you can talk about sort of as top tech priorities or top tech initiatives?
You know, as part of the Hardwire strategy that I mentioned earlier, we have made the biggest investment in the tech space that I've seen in my time here. In fact, you know, it's the number one priority for us, which was evidenced by the creation of my organization. Mm-hmm. And more broadly speaking, though, we're investing heavily in the internal infrastructure to ensure that our systems are sustainable, the customer-facing tech that improves upon the existing experiences across all touch points, digital and otherwise.
Right.
And we're even working with the dealer network on what tech investments can they make to make the in-store experience more seamless. So if I had to, you know, kind of categorize the top three, I'd say the first is modernizing our internal system. So how do we run the business, including the things we talked about before. The customer journey, you know, as one example from an HG.com perspective, our framework is to shift from an OEM brand to a lifestyle brand and the ultimate
destination.
That's a
destination. Big shift. That's an important shift. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And it opens up the door to folks that, you know, may think that Harley is just for riders.
For riders, right. It's not.
It's not. Yeah, it's a lifestyle. Part of what we're doing on .com, you know, in this example, what we're investing is giving our core customers, as an example, more access to educational content, like information on Epic Rides.
Yeah.
But at the same time, investing in the content and the way to deliver the content for new customers in the educational space about things like how to get into riding or how to select the right gear or how to meet up with other, you know, like-minded individuals that just want to learn more.
Sure.
You know, we don't have...
Community, right?
Community.
How do you build community around this?
Precisely.
Well, yeah.
Community of the brand versus, you know, the traditional and the lifestyle of the brand versus the traditional kind of perception of this is for motorcyclists, mm-hmm. you know. And I think there are pockets of folks that already understand that are already engaged, that aren't riding motorcycles, but love the culture, engage in the culture. But there's so much more opportunity for people to learn and for us to reach a much broader audience to bring that into, you know, different segments that we're not connecting with today. Well,
Absolutely.
We're starting to, I should say.
Right. Through technology.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, you know, only one of the world's most iconic brands, and you're touching all the aspects of the experience around it. No pressure.
Right.
No pressure here, right?
Yeah, no pressure.
Yeah. If you're comfortable answering this and attacking this question, how does all of this innovation that's happening here, all of this tech, how does it help Milwaukee as a city that wants to be seen more as a tech city, right?
Yeah.
It is, and wants to be even bigger and better and badder and bolder. How does Harley help that mission?
Yeah, so that's a great one. You know, and this is something that we partner really close with the folks across, you know, the different functions, but specifically HR, human resources. And I know that they are active in promoting and providing opportunities within the STEAM space, mm-hmm. you know, in and around Milwaukee.
Sure.
And selfishly, for us, the success in tech in Milwaukee is imperative as a piece of that larger puzzle that's going to help drive that equitable access to tech education in Milwaukee. And I think that part of the success in the space is understanding that access to that good tech education or access to new and existing technology, and then even the opportunities to make connections with the industry and along with, you know, the well-paying, stable opportunities is just good for everybody.
Right, right.
It's good for us as speaking for Harley-Davidson. It's good for the industry, and it's good for our communities. And so, you know, just to sum that up, I think that, you know, Harley needs to have Milwaukee continue to be and progress from a tech perspective, and we are all in to support making that happen by ensuring that we have the roles, we have the opportunities for these type of capabilities to come on board to help, you know, progress our vision and mission into the future.
So bring on the tech people, because you're ready.
Absolutely. And, you know, I kind of hit on this before, but I think an important point to hit on again is that it's not just the traditional spaces of tech. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at my background, you know, computer engineering, someone would, to your question, which was fantastic, did I ever think that that would apply to marketing? And my answer would have been no.
Right.
Up until it did.
Exactly.
You know, right. Would it ever apply to general merchandise or apparel and licensing? Well, no, never would have thought about it. But it does.
Yes.
You know, and so there's so many different areas. So please inquire, you know, for your audience, if there's any question on how, you know, your specific tech background or what you're, you know, studying in school would apply to the organization. We're happy to answer that question and come up with all a spectrum of options that would be interesting to look into.
From all of that, we won't get into this, but the investments this organization makes in this community. What Milwaukee is striving for is not only important to Harley, it's important to Milwaukee that a Harley is here.
Yeah.
A Harley-Davidson is here. And, you know, Tom, I just have to say thank you for the work you're doing, and thanks for jumping on the show, and thanks for sort of opening our eyes to what technology means in this dynamic organization.
Absolutely. And thank you for the opportunity, because, you know, Milwaukee has been home to Harley-Davidson for 120 years.
Yes.
Right. And it will continue to be the home of Harley moving forward. And I know that I can personally speak for every single employee when I say that we will continue delivering incredible products that will continue to make the city very proud.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.